Dave Peacock talking about Prop 1 and 2 in the big day for the MLS vote here in St. Louis. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
You are already out and about on the move, canvassing, I hear tell. Is that accurate?
We have been out and about, and we got people at every polling location, and voters have been great. It's a great day in St. Louis, and we've got a lot of confidence as we move through the day.
Because it's such a low turnout, relatively speaking, 12.5% voter turnout at this time, April in 2013 for this general, it's every vote truly does matter. And at the same time, it's difficult, at least I think it is, to try and handicap polling data and get an idea of where all measures will fall. What kind of indication are you getting on the health of this initiative for today's vote?
You know, we feel good. We know that in what I'll call more formal polling, things started moving our way over the last couple of weeks. We're picking up a little momentum. I do agree with you, especially with low turnout. It's difficult to judge based on polling. So that's why we're not taking anything for granted. We have a lot of confidence. We've got over 300 people out working polls, mostly volunteers, which tells you a lot about sort of the momentum and movement of this. And, you know, everyone we interact with, we're asking them to go vote. And like you said, every single vote matters in this case.
Dave, when you talk to people about this proposal, some folks in the city point to things in the city that aren't good, that maybe are shortcomings in the city. How do you try to persuade folks that aren't on board with this, that this will benefit everybody in the city?
You know, and look, we get it. Every issue, every candidate, I mean, nobody gets 100% of a vote, and so we understand that. We just try to share with people the facts. And look, this has been a hotly debated and discussed topic since really November, and I think thoroughly vetted by media, by citizens. You know, the data has been out there. At the end of the day, no matter kind of how you look at it, it generates more tax revenue than is being paid in. So this is a situation where, because of the size, and we learned from other stadium deals that weren't as good, and tried to do it right. And because of the sizing, this is one where we can say, look, we can have this and generate the taxes to serve, to cover other services in the city. So this is a unique opportunity where we can actually have an amenity and know that it's the right investment relative to taking care of other services in the city. And then you throw in the community benefits agreement, which is the first of its kind and really should be the standard bearer in the beginning of what we do with all our major developments downtown.
And for the voters who might need a refresher course, where exactly is the tax money coming? Most of it's from a user tax, right?
Correct. So what happens is voters vote yes, hopefully, on Proposition 1, which really, if you think about it, generates $20 million a year to cover expansion and securitization of Metrolink, as well as, you know, neighborhood infrastructure, workforce, job training. I think they've got those security cameras that have seemed to be effective so far, to expand those in other parts of the city. And then automatically the use tax goes up $4 million or a little less than $4 million a year. And what we're asking voters is to just allocate that to the stadium and a little bit of minority workforce training as well. And that puts us in a position to cover $50 million of the $60 million. And this is one thing that doesn't get discussed a lot. The other $10 million is really money that the owners are putting up front. And then to the degree the sales tax justifies it, they're paid back over time. So a lot of TIFs are the city paying out money first, and then, you know, the city pays itself back. In this case, the owners are putting $10 million up and then are paid back through what they call a sales tax reimbursement. But people are really voting on that use tax, and it's paid by larger businesses primarily, most of it, on items that are purchased outside of the state, so that people can't purchase items outside the state and circumvent the local sales tax. So, you know, I think this is one, again, where we can get a lot of our services and needs met and create something that generates, you know, more than a dollar for every dollar put in.
Dave, the soccer tradition in St. Louis goes back years and is, you know, impressive. There's no question about that. And I know you guys, before you jump in, study what the long-term impact could be. What is your level of confidence that this will be a successful endeavor long-term? and we'll be able to battle through maybe some seasons where the play on the field isn't good. Are you guys confident that this thing will continue to draw fans down the road?
We are. I mean, I think the sport is growing in popularity. It's the preferred sport among millennials. The average age of a fan is about 36 years old compared to other sports that were closer to 50. And look, if we didn't believe in the long-term viability, it really wouldn't make sense. You know, the owners are putting $250 million plus investment in the city, and we know that it's going to have negative cash flow or positive profitability the first, you know, 12 years or more. And so we're banking on this working over the long term. And frankly, if you look at all the statistics and the popularity among youth, that we feel confident that this the popularity of the sport will grow. And it is something, like you said, that we identify with. I mean, you could argue that the nationalization of soccer in the U.S. really started in St. Louis, and that should be a source of pride for everybody as just one of the unique characteristics of our city.
If it passes, when might be the first soccer game? When would we see the stadium completed, a team here, and ready to go?
The goal is 2020, so season starts sort of mid-March. So we'd be looking at maybe mid-late March 2020 for the first game. Most of the reason for that delay is the land that we want to use is really 21 acres of underutilized land in the middle of the city that are on and off ramps that are being moved to a more convenient location on Jefferson. And the process to do that just takes a little bit of time. And so once we are able to get control of the site, it'd take about a little over a year and a half to construct a stadium and get it open.
And the MLS has always been adamant about the stadium being downtown somewhere. Is that correct?
They really have. I mean, they've learned, I think, from examples within their own existing team set that downtown stadiums are popular. And look, I think they look at St. Louis really in an optimistic way. I mean, they see the growth of people, millennials moving downtown, staying downtown, as positives. And there's reasons why they want to see the stadium down there, given that that's a big part of their fan base.
Dave Peacock, our guest here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Doug Vaughn with you on the radio program. Dave, if this is voted down, is it airtight that the MLS will not be coming to St. Louis within the next 5 years?
Look, there really isn't a plan B, and that's why this vote is critical and why we've, you know, taken on the effort and taken it very seriously. And I think as you look at the expansion, the price tag is going up. You know, maybe 7 years ago or 8 years ago, it was $30 million. Now it's $150 million, which is as tight as it is. And then that obviously is being paid 100% by the owners. But if you get even the next round could be as high as $200 million. So if people think that, oh, well, we can just wait and do this later, it's probably going to get to a point where it's priced out of a market like St. Louis, given our size. So now is really the optimal time to get this done.
Watching the news and the reading in the paper, it seems you guys have gotten more and more people on board. Do you guys feel like you have momentum heading into the vote?
We feel good about the momentum. Again, we don't take anything for granted. And the reason we've got, you know, I say 300 plus people out is to make sure that in what I call that last mile, as people are making the decisions to vote, that we're giving them information and we're communicating with them. And so, again, we need our fans to show up and then get out and vote yes. The weather's pretty good, so that shouldn't be a hindrance. And but we do feel like we've got momentum going into today.
I can't imagine what the emotion must be like for you and everyone who's worked with us to work so hard and pour your heart and soul into this and then sit and wait for the polls. What will you do the rest of the day waiting for the turnout?
Well, we don't wait. I mean, I'll be at 6 or 7 polling locations over the next several hours, and we work. And then when the polls close, we gather together and watch closely. And the good thing is with a city election, it's a little bit smaller, so the results should come in hopefully a little bit faster. And, I'll tell you, I think the group that's worked on this, we had over 700 volunteers sign up from the beginning. I think that, you know, everyone can hold their head high no matter what. I mean, the effort was there, the investment of time and energy. So obviously any issue is going to be challenging as it relates to an election. But we feel very good going into today and have a lot of confidence as we work the polls.
Dave Peacock with us here. Big day for the MLS and St. Louis. We will see how this plays out over the next 12 hours. And Dave Peacock, kind enough to take time out of a very busy and important day for him to join us here on 590 The Fan and InsideSTL.com. Dave, we really appreciate the time this morning. Best of luck today, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you guys for getting the word out. Appreciate it.